I'm Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical and spiritual show designed to open your eyes to the greater possibilities of life. And thanks for joining us. On this show, we bring you clear, concise communication from the spirit world, from those who continue to walk with us and who try to look after us. As mediums, we are able to bring you the benefit of their wisdom. And as a result, we can get a different perspective on life, which means having choices and options we never realized were available to us. Tonight's show is part two of our discussion about the soul. If you have a question for Spirit regarding tonight's topic, then the phone lines will be open and we'd love to hear from you. It's a free phone number at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227.
Well, hello there. I'm Mick Avery. Every week, a deep trance channel, live on air, an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for a group of highly knowledgeable spirits called the White Cloud Group. They are an educational group, and they are here to give us knowledge and information we'd never have access to in any other way. As well as our Spirit's Work show on BBS Radio on Mondays at 7 p.m. and Thursday at 1 p.m. PST, we also have another radio show, and that's called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. PST. And that's from Artist First. Anyway, if you would like to know more about us, our books, our work, CDs, Akashic readings, whatever, we suggest you go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. And that is pretty much all from me, because I'm going to go into trance, which in other words is a kind of sleep. So have a great show and bye for now.
Okay. Thanks, Nick. Gregory Hay walked the earth 300 years ago, and after his passing, he was asked if he would like to train to be the representative of an educational group. They were going to be helping the people of the earth discover a more harmonious way of life, to understand the implications of what we are doing to our planet and guide us towards stability, hopefully. The White Cloud Group, whom he is a spokesperson for, consists of eminent scientists, physicists and scholars, as well as ordinary people, and between them they have vast knowledge and insight. They try to help us to look at the bigger picture of life, to think outside of the box, and explain situations that affect us and our future, and of course those who wish to come after us, who haven't had a physical life yet. Once again, if you have a question for Gregory regarding our show topic, the number to call is 877-876-5227, and if you do phone, it's a free phone number, and do speak up, because we do sometimes have problems hearing you, but we look forward to your calls about the soul. Okay. So.
Hello, friend.
Hello, Gregory.
Hello, dear friend.
How are you?
I am wonderful, thank you.
Okay.
Of course.
Good.
As many people are on our side of life, of course there are some who are not so wonderful and not so aspiring. There are those who are negatively displaced, and there are those who are seeking interaction in some other way.
Okay. So, last week we were talking about the aspect of the soul that deals with the physical side of life.
Yes.
And today we're discussing, I believe, the soul in relation to its job and journey in the spirit world.
Yes, absolutely so, friend. Now, to many people, it may well appear that they have misconstrued what it is that the soul's purpose is, or what its function is, in physical state, or in the state of, in relation to your spirit, and the whole journey of everything. Some people may even feel that the soul is, that they are perhaps a part of a multiplicit soul. That they, perhaps, after having had this journey, that some other aspect of themselves or of their soul comes back to have another journey. This is quite an interesting point. Because, actually, in some essence, it is vaguely correct, but only vaguely. Because what a person identifies with when they think of that, when they think, oh, well, I perhaps have had other lives within my soul or something like that. What they are actually referring to is not the group soul, but the soul group. Same words, different way around. And they mean something completely different. A group soul, or a multiplicit personality, as we would call it, is something actually that is very rare among human beings, because that is actually a person who is having a physical life, but is a multiplicit personality. That is, it could be several or more people in one embodiment of a physical being. So that is as though you have Fred Richards of number something or other one moment, and then you also have somebody else who has a completely different characteristic, perhaps even a different voice, may even have different behaviors as well, of course, because it is a completely different person. Now, this kind of split personality syndrome, I understand many people actually refer to as some form of psychotic behavior. But it is very often actually in place because of, it may well have been that to do with the journey, that a collection of people decided that they wanted to have that journey.
Okay.
And that is, of course, something that may occur within the spirit world. So we cannot, as you say, rule this out of being of the context of understandability. It is something which can happen, although, as I say, it is very rare. Now, that doesn't mean to say that a person who is a transmedium is a multiplicit personality. The spirit, such as myself, is not an embodiment of the physical being throughout the journey, or even through segments of it. I myself have come through agreement with the instrument, which means that the situation is quite different. Although I came from the same soul group, I actually was always in the understanding that this was just a temporary function, and something of myself does not actually remain within the instrument once I have left.
No, and you don't do this unless you're asked.
Exactly so.
Invite you.
Yes, quite so. Now, that is, of course, quite different to a multiplicit personality who has actually had the function of this understanding, this split personality, shall we say, perhaps through some psychotic event, or at least that is how it is established in physical terms, or it may be that it is just that the different beings who inhabit that one physical body happen to have this realistic relationship with one another.
Didn't they know that it could cause problems, though?
In terms of the physical state?
Yes.
Well, yes, but I suppose so, to a point. The issue here is not whether it would cause problems directly. After all, that tends to be a situation of the physical state and how people have regarded various symptoms of behavior or this multiplicit personality syndrome, as we would say, as being something of a detriment to that person or not. Clearly, they are not going to have a full and happy life, perhaps, because they may become tormented by this disarrangement, if you like, of having more than one person making decisions upon the life.
Yes, that's why I can't understand.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, I understand. I understand that. It is just that sometimes that is exactly what happens, that you have a conglomerate of people. It may not be people of a particularly high order, you understand.
Okay, well, but who decides that that can happen then?
Well, they just really get together and do it themselves. It isn't something that somebody pushes a button and says, I have made the decision to do this, and we will send X, Y, and Z, or some other peoples to have that physical life together.
Mm-hmm.
It is just something that they decide to do themselves. Perhaps one could say, well, then surely that is the physical being not having a free will experience for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I quite agree with that, which is actually why usually this situation tends to be negative. Yes?
I see.
Although sometimes it may have some very positive overtones because someone else in the spirit world has decided to go along as well to try and sort them out whilst they are having this physical life, you see.
As a mediator?
Yes, quite so. Yes, and as a positive force to try to resolve the situation of the others who have decided to include themselves. Yes?
Mm. That doesn't sort of lead it to sound like a very divine act of coming here.
No, quite so. I understand that. Not every being on our side of life necessarily takes that view, because perhaps they have some other agenda to do with their life journey. And I understand the difficulty you may have here. After all, it may be, of course, that these are beings who have possibly already had a physical life, and that they choose to do this to disrupt it. You see, to disrupt the process.
Okay, but are there spirits? Everything is intact within that body, the same as a normal person?
Yes, absolutely so.
So in that case, there is reincarnation in that way?
Well, yes, unfortunately, but it means that it is a dystoic cycle, you see.
Yes. I was under the impression that you were pure spirit before you came.
Yes, exactly. So, normally, that is the case. Mm. I am saying this as citing it is a very rare situation
right. For
that in its purity to happen. This is not to do with some cases of multiplicit personality that you have on your side of life, which actually are a form of sickness, a psychotic sickness, and not actually anything to do with spirit at all. I am just merely pointing out that for some, it is different, and that it happens to be that you have these different personalities who have, as I say, already possibly had a physical life, and they have really hitched a ride upon someone else.
Okay. Presumably that could turn out to be something that could be beneficial if they were very, let me see, not divine, but more highly evolved spirits.
Yes, absolutely so.
That body.
Yes, that was the case.
Right, so that person then could be very gifted and very special.
Most certainly. Yes, of course. You would then perhaps cite that this was something of a divine providence, perhaps saying that it was shards of the same crystal or something like that. I believe that is something which has often been spoken of, that there are different facets of the same personality, perhaps. And that is sometimes what actually happens, that it may be that the person is in this way, that is the purpose of the journey, you see. But that doesn't mean to say that it is something which everyone should try to look for or aspire to in their behavior. Because clearly, it is, as I say, extremely rare. Perhaps one in 5 or 6 million human beings.
Oh, yes, okay. Okay.
So perhaps that places it upon the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So, getting back then, we have the situation of group soul, as I say, that many people refer to. Now, group soul itself is, as I say, a play upon the wording of soul group, which is actually how species and different modalities of species are broken up into their characteristic parts. So you would have perhaps a pod of whales, shall we say, who have actually come from 7 or 8 distinct soul groups. And through their personalities and their characteristics, as each one is born, so different soul groups have an input into that family group and life. Therefore, it doesn't mean to say that they make any real important changes, but the harmonic structure of the group is what is interesting, because the pod becomes far happier and far more diverse in its nature and the way in which different characteristics of individual beings come into play, come into the foreground of their lives. So therefore, they are sharing a soul group experience in physical state. Similarly, it is in the physical world of human beings. You may have, then, people who have actually come from different soul groups, perhaps, but they still get on remarkably well. They harmonize very well, complement each other, perhaps, in their characteristics. This isn't something which is just born out of their physical life because of the environment and how the impact of that has had upon each individual, you see.
Mm-hmm.
It is actually something which all experience, yet through the grace of the single individual, their individuality itself shines through.
Okay.
So, that is, I suppose, how different soul groups can come together in the physical state and actually play a part. Not that they are remarkably different from one another, but that their harmonic is exceptionally different from one another, with very subtle nuances as well. The group soul, then, is, as I say, tends to be something which occasionally, some people feel that they are a part of this great group soul, this divine inspiration which allows them to have life upon life upon life. But as I say, what really happens is that you as a spirit being have influence upon the meetings and the situations of great love which you bring about for the value of others, perhaps because they have come back to recount their physical life experience and you have given them that love. In doing that, then, you are learning from them of their life experience. That is something that you take upon yourself, which is why you feel you have been in the physical world before, purely and simply because you have been that close to someone else, to someone else's life experience, because of the purity of love you have given them whilst they were in the spirit world recounting their journey. So what then of the soul's continuing journey in the spirit world? We have talked already about the soul journey and in relation to the spirit in the physical life and what that means, how it is that the soul in that aspect is the vehicle for characteristics, for emotions to be laid upon it and to help the soul to grow in that relationship. When you have passed to the spirit world, what actually will happen is that that soul, your soul, will actually, as I have already said, be a part, echo itself upon a part of the Akashic Book. It is also the divine essence of your spirit that has been collected from your consciousness. Your emotions, as you have gathered them in physical life, help to expand the soul and create the goodness from within it. Help to bond the love which has grown from the well of truth within a self during your physical life, and that love has lined the soul and created the beautiful illumination that it may have. Just the same as in the physical side of life in your journey, that the soul was the taxi or the vehicle of characteristic and emotion in your physical state, so it is that the soul goes on to be a kind of vehicle in the spirit world. But there is a great difference here. The sum total of your physical journey has come to make up the depth of your soul and the depth of love from within it. So therefore, we can see perhaps that if a person had been meditating, we would see a great depth with that soul, a great fortune of love that can be brought and bestowed toward others as gifts of service. It isn't something that you use up, that you have given all this love out to someone or to some being in need in the spirit world, and then suddenly you have none left in order to retrace your steps or perhaps to go to some other layer or dimensional state that otherwise you would have been allowed at because you had enough love within you. Mm-hmm. It is in fact that the more that you create, the more that you bring about on the path of others for their goodness, to help them, then your content of soul will grow. This is abundantly clear in the situation of, shall we say, when you are meditating or something like that in physical state, you begin to ascend the dizzying steps of a pathway toward knowledge and wisdom, perhaps, which may grace you with beautiful coloring within your meditation, may give you great and sublime peace and tranquility in the pathway that you present yourself and to others. In the spirit world, the soul itself expands. The more that you do for others, caring for them, the more that you create further layers upon your soul. It expands. Its coloration becomes of a greater and deeper color. Purple is usually a vibrant color in physical state, but in the spirit world, it takes on a whole different meaning as it seeps within blues and golds. It is somehow transferred into this magical content of soul sphere experience. That is the outer core which displays your outer arrangement, the way your gathering of love has been presented toward other beings, and the energy passing through that sphere is then what helps to further promote the auric field which you have become unified through this energy of gathering experience. Then with further experience, you are able to perhaps add more clarity to those colors. Not that you are purposely looking at yourself and preening through ego the elements of what color it is that you may have or define for yourself. You do not, as a spirit being, look in the mirror of an odd occasion in the spirit world and say, oh, my aura is looking nice today. I think I will add this or that experience and colour it a little further. I can see some room for improvement here and there. It isn't like that, because in the spirit world, the spirit experience is a growing abundance. One situation upon another. One growing feeling of warmth and love toward another feeling. It isn't something which is defined in the state of actions and responses. Now, I understand that for many beings on our side of life, they have a great deal of trouble with even trying to find the consciousness state and will to define who it is that they are, even their names, yet alone whether they are able to actually define their soul state of survival from physical state reality. Many people have this great difficulty on our side of life to even string a sentence together, even in their minds, yet alone come to some assimilated understanding of their auric field or who or what their soul may be.
Some people think that you suddenly become all-knowing, all-seeing beings.
Yes, quite so.
As soon as you go to the spirit world.
It isn't like that at all. Some people may paint it that way, but that can be because they have already transgressed that situation and have actually easily overcome it. Or to others, it may be that that was their communication or illumination in the physical state reality, and that is merely something that they have carried over to their life in the spirit world. Doesn't mean to say that that's actually what's happening to them. This does not either mean that these people are deluding themselves or illusionary of their life experience or the ability of their soul which has to travel interdimensionally across the universe.
I'd just like to take this opportunity to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and this week is part two of our discussion about the soul. If you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, then the phone lines are open and we'd love to hear from you. The number is free phone, 877-876-5227.
Yes.
Okay, so just because you're in the spirit world then, all of a sudden, can you see your soul? I mean, I know you can see auras, and you did say last week, the other time, previously, that the aura was the outer envelope of your soul.
Yes.
So with that, mesh in with that, if you were saying that you were looking at somebody's soul, could you see souls?
Well, you can see, as I have already said, you can see their outer experience of what your journey has related to you at that moment in time, which means that in an essence, you are looking upon one another's soul experience because you are looking at the divine auric field which allows you to gaze at certain situations of the soul, events which have happened to bring about that vibration at which the soul is presently exhibiting.
Okay, so for somebody who is, say, a shining one, and we've talked before about shining ones, who are beings of pureness,
yes,
shall we say, there, would you see their auric field and their soul?
Well, yes, from light years away, you would see their auric field.
Okay.
Which is why I have to say that I understand human beings' facility to try to want to exemplify themselves and raise above the standards of other mere mortals and perhaps ascend to how they feel they may be able to communicate with brilliantly illuminated beings. But clearly, someone who brings this about as a possibility or states it as a fact in their life are simply deluding themselves, because the very facet of soul and its positive will mean that it is very difficult for someone who is not of that illumination or understanding to actually communicate in a way which is coherent, because that then would emulate that by your communication with them, perhaps brought about by yourself, that this was in fact elevating you to their vibration. Vibration isn't like that. It isn't like you going to someone on your side of life who is famous and actually being able to talk to them and then feeling that you are elevated in their company. It isn't that way at all. You are talking of physical vibration, of the very fact that you are trying to come close to someone who is at a vibration which is millions of times faster than yours.
Right.
How do you think you are going to be able to communicate with them?
Yes, you see, we can't understand that, really. I don't suppose we'll ever be able to fully understand that until we get to the spirit world.
Yes.
Exactly, that's what you mean by that.
You see, the one drop of love from a shining one can feed a thousand.
We just see it. We would just see it as a brighter star amongst others.
Yes, quite so. And I'm not saying that this is something that shining ones try to illuminate either. They are beings who are. They are not trying to be anything. They are the archetypes of the creation of the universe. They have the situation of forming the architecture and structure of physical state reality, and also of etheric world state reality. In which case, because they are interdimensional and are able at will to bring themselves into any alignment, I know that that should surely mean then that if they had it of the will of themselves to bring themselves into alignment with some human fallible person who wanted to make contact with them, that they would so do that. But surely, you see, that is misunderstanding the rationale and the actual factual analysis and instrumentation, how it is that the mechanic is laid in the universe. That is not grasping the fact that you have something that is, shall we say, it is like taking one grain of sand and saying, "Here, you grain of sand, talk to Saturn. Talk to the planet Saturn on the same level."
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if we were always energy, we've always been spirit, in the spirit world before we came here.
Yes.
The soul, we build up layers of our emotional energy, positive and negative, as we go along, shall we say.
As you move through the universe.
Yes.
Yes.
So, what was the difference? What should the difference be like of it before we came to have this physical life and when we go back?
Well, generally, what tends to happen is that you as a pure spirit being, before you had physical life, would have been just simply that. You are a shard, an aspect of perhaps the Shining One, whose soul group you are from, and ultimately of Lord is God, or whatever you prefer to call that creation, which is the sum of all of us. Every one of us are a part of Lord is. The actual focus of our soul is that before physical life, we exhibit this purity because we have come from the purity sea, which is an actual part of the soul sea experience of creation. This is thought and understanding in the magnitude of purity, so that there is no feeling or thought of negativity or of this attraction between beings. There is only this purity sea aspect, which is something which appears to bind all beings in the state of oneness and in the state of willing and wishing for the greatest accomplishment of the individual. So this means then that the individual lacks something? Does it mean to say that the individual before physical life in the purity sea is less than pure because it lacks something, therefore it needs to have experience for something? It doesn't actually mean that.
No.
But that experience is not within everyone's grasp at every instant and no instant. It is something which is gradual. Therefore, does that mean to say then that the individual at one stage was not? No, it just means that the individual at one stage was closer to creation than now. Therefore, you could say in a sense that people who are of physical earth are further away from creation in that essence because they are undergoing physical experience which can have negative trait and value, can detract from the purity sea of soul.
Yes, I mean, we've talked about that before, and the fact that it's a wonder it doesn't put people off coming here, really.
Yes, quite. Why have a physical life at all if you can enjoy yourself in the purity sea and not bother with anything?
Mm. Just learn it all in the halls of learning.
Yes, quite so, and busy with one another's lives and learn from each other's experience. But the point is that the necessity for having a physical experience is that it gives the soul and the spirit a chance to understand situations beyond natural meaning in the spirit world. It is a different experience. It is a little as though you were a child and that after birth you may not have actually had a physical relationship with what you determine water to be or liquid. You have no experience of water, therefore you do not know what it is. Yet when you are immersed in it, first of all, the thing that a child may do is not like it. Perhaps because it is a reminder of its previous position, being immersed in water or amniotic fluid, or that it is actually not finding that the water is likable. Perhaps it is too hot or too cold. Therefore, it is not a pleasurable experience. So that becomes a physical experience, but it is also a spirit experience for having understood that situation. Does that mean to say then that that spirit needs to have that situation so that every being who is born should be immersed in hot or cold, freezing cold water in order to give it an experience? No, of course not, because that would be ridiculous. It would also be dangerous and unworkable for the child. It doesn't mean to say that every spirit has to experience the same thing, which is exactly coming back to the point that to bring about soul purity doesn't mean to say that soul has to personally experience every element of death, every way of dying. Why would you want to do that? Why do you think that your soul experience would need to suffer such consequence in order to make it bigger or in order to reevaluate itself, to give it further understanding and knowledge of what that actually feels like? You don't need to go through an experience to know what it feels like. You can merely watch someone else going through the pain to know what experience that was. You can look at people who drove aeroplanes into the Twin Towers, and you can see the pain and experience upon the expressions of the faces of the people bereaved by that experience. You don't have to have gone through it yourself to know that it was painful. Similarly, my friends, the soul and all that it is not the fact that you must experience the beheading that some other one has on your physical side of life. You go through that experience just by understanding that it happened. Perhaps even, if you are grisly enough to do it, reading the transcript of how they actually did it and what happened to the person's emotional state at the time of going through that. Why would you want to live that life? Surely you would be willing yourself to give that person great unbounded love for having to suffer such a derogatory state of affairs by one who is so negative. That doesn't beautify the soul, my friend. That is a misdemeanor of great negativity and evil. That is nothing which beautifies the soul into purity. The soul is the experience of your egotistical and emotional understanding, not egotistical in the sense of a negative situation or energy as far as human state of mind is concerned, but rather an egotistical statement of that is how you survive in the physical world.
So it's all in harmony together to for the journey.
Yes.
So that every aspect and facet of your senses are in tune with each other.
Absolutely so, my friend. And the point of this purity, the point of this understanding of one another's lives, which is so centrally important to human behavior and the civilization's progress, is that gradually, as further and further souls have physical life experience and then melt back or bring their occasion, their situation to the soul group, is so that the Shining One and all souls within it, all millions of them who are within it pure, and those who have had a physical journey, can all celebrate that life, can acknowledge the difficulties and the suffering, can also grow from the experience of purity brought about through the divine situation of synchronicity or whatever it was that happened in that life, perhaps the beautiful things of life, just the walking through the eyes of that truth is very often enough to bring many souls to the point of tears in the spirit world. Just through looking through someone's eyes into their life. And that is the love experience, the overwhelming love experience from the well within a self, which happens during recompense and reconciliation, or however that communication takes place.
I totally blanked then. What was I going to say? Can you, when you do healing in the spirit world,
yes.
Can you, is part of the healing, say for instance, if it's somebody who's just passed through a very traumatic, they've got murdered or something like that, experience.
Yes.
When you give them healing, are you healing the spirit or the soul or both at the same time? It's not a conscious decision.
You are not healing the spirit.
Okay.
That is the first point.
Right.
Because the spirit is purity in itself.
Okay.
You cannot damage the spirit. The spirit isn't damaged from situations. The soul is damaged from situations through emotional turmoil, vengeance and all of that. Mm-hmm. So that is a soul damage.
Right.
So actually what you are healing is the soul. That is what you are bringing together, is bringing understanding through healing, to reveal perhaps other opportunities within that spiritual journey and pathway which may be available to that soul experience and journey to overcome certain problems or situations delivered upon it by this physical experience.
Right. Okay.
You understand?
Yes. Yes.
And that is exactly the reason, the same reason why it is that many healing circles and situations to do with that will be to do with working in auric fields and that kind of thing, that kind of sensitivity, because do not forget that the auric field represents the outer layering of the soul experience and what has happened to that individual. So it may be that the outer layering of the auric field has picked up and trapped some negative experiences which then cannot be negotiated around, that are becoming disruptive to the soul and its pathway to purity or its pathway to wisdom and understanding of the unveiling of the undivided love from within a self.
And that can be in the physical or in the spirit world.
Absolutely so. Yes, quite so.
But in the spirit world...
Hello?
Oh, hello?
Hello.
Hello, friend.
Hi. I'm wondering if I could ask you a question.
Yes.
I had an unusual experience. I woke up one morning, or should I say I was awoken. And the best way I can describe it is that as I was in the process of waking up, I felt as though I had a world of knowledge being poured into my brain, almost as if you were pouring a pitcher of water. And I was not quite lucid, but I realized what was happening. And when I became fully conscious of what was going on, I started to write down what was the words that were coming into my head.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I seem to have missed most of it except for the very last sentence. And I'd like to tell you what that is, and if you could tell me what you believe that means.
Yes.
It was kissed by the knowledge. It was a stalemate. And I feel as though it's something very profound. And it has something to do with the soul searching that I've been doing most of my life. And contact that I feel has been made with me in the past. And I feel as though all the information that is being given to me is being stored in me somewhere. I can't access it.
Yes.
I feel as though I will be able to access it in some future date.
Yes.
But I need some help.
Very well, friend. The point is, the information which has been given to you, you automatically assume that it is for your life now, or that it is for some aspect of your life, perhaps that you are supposed to relay something, or that it is for some aspect of life which is to give you a teaching and valued experience. Unfortunately, what you have not connected with is the fact that for many people, both during the semi-comatose state of near sleep or near-death experience even, or perhaps even to do with dream state reality or situ- situations to do with meditative practice and the revelations which come to you in that state of mind are not necessarily that they are going to be willingly for your journey at this very moment. They may well be, as you quite rightly point out, for some future dissection of your pathway ahead. The point to note, my friend, is that by having this experience, you are trying to subvert your course of action, or it is as though you are needing to have a reaction to this experience because you feel it is of divine providence. And I'm not saying that it is not of divine providence or that you have not had this experience in reality but have merely experienced an illumination or an illusion by someone else. What I'm saying to you, dear friend, is that you are a spiritual being who has always existed. Can you equate with eternity? Can you equate with the messages or the situations you may come upon from time to time with other beings of whom you do not even begin to register their identity?
Right.
And say that these situations are useful to you now, must be useful to you now, otherwise what is the point of their deliverance?
Right.
The point is that they have delivered it to you because you are an eternal being, and that it may not be just through your assumption that it is of equal value to you now, because it may be of use in 1,000 years from now. So, and sometimes it is that when human beings have this experience, they automatically try to decipher what it means. And that by doing that, you are actually moving away from the experience in trying to fathom its rationale to do with your life, yes?
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is that what you need to do is to step away from the experience, understand that you have had it, but that you will actually fail to understand its full meaning if you keep gravitating toward it. It was actually there, perhaps, that it was supposed to be that you weren't supposed to see it, but you just happened to become in a certain conscious state to be able to know that something had existed. Yes?
Yeah, it was real.
Yes, I'm not saying that it wasn't, friend.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is that it is to do with your consciousness and the availability of whether it actually applies to you now or not. By you attracting your attention to it doesn't mean to say that it's going to reveal itself. It could well be quite the opposite. And you will find it more difficult to allow it to reveal itself because you're giving it too much attention. Yes?
Okay, yeah.
So what you need to do, my friend, I would suggest,
uh-huh,
is that you step backward from that and feel, well, that was then, that was that experience. If I actually carry on doing what I am doing, but perhaps be more aware in the way that of which I am doing something, perhaps your acts of life, perhaps it is that you have this meditative state or whatever, perhaps you don't, perhaps it's something that you should do. I'm not saying that you do. I'm saying that for some people it will be that way and for others it won't. So how do you know which experience to go by in your life? As I say, not all of these experiences are for your personal journey now. They are merely there because you have happened to caught sight of them.
Yes.
And interestingly enough, what this means is that you perhaps may need to be more studious about your affairs, about the way that you conduct yourself in your harmonic reverence to life. Because the more harmonic you are, the more giving you are, then you may come into line with exactly what they wanted to deliver. And then you will see it.
So she meditate more purposefully.
Yes, absolutely, but not to meditate for, I want to know what this means.
No.
You understand?
Yeah.
What
yeah.
you need to do is to step away from that and to actually meditate in silence and peace, which will actually raise your vibration, and then perhaps it may be revealed to you. But don't do that as a purposeful journey, friend. Do it as a purposeful journey for yourself to meditate, to raise your vibration. That is a good purpose to have.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very, very much.
God bless. Thank you, Faye.
Okay, we've got about 3 minutes left.
Yes.
Is there anything else that we haven't covered?
Dreams, friend.
Okay.
The point is, then, that, you see, when you have someone who is trying to reveal soul to you, your soul life, you are looking upon the fractions of their journey, the interludes, the situations of what has given them a high or a low in their life, and all of the other things in between, the sadness, the elevation. All of these experiences are bringing more quality to the soul experience, and all of this is enabling your soul to provide you with the mechanism to the gateway of the rest of your life. That is why it is important. Because your soul, throughout your etheric journey in the spirit world as pure spirit or as spirit of whoever you are able through your divine purpose of soul and the situation you have brought about for yourself, you are bringing about that situation to give you the key to other spheres of activity. So, if your soul has become brightened by your life and that your experience of pleasure and giving is one of great intensity or purity, then you will have the key to a different realm of understanding to continue in your spirit's journey. So therefore, as you glide through your life, as you come upon experience, the more that you attract to your soul and the more experience you gain, you bring wisdom to the surface, which allows you greater acceleration of your vibration, which allows you greater access to different dimensional states of understanding, perhaps. Different access to different worlds, even. Perhaps even gives you the ability for interdimensional communication in some way or other. Perhaps to do with your quality of divisibility, so that you may bring about different aspects of self-control at any one time through different dimensions. This is actually quite a feat, I have to say, but that one that many people have gathered intense knowledge and understanding over, and one which many people bring about great acts of kindness as an element of that reward.
Right, and presumably then, just very quickly, that you can, if you're wanting to have another life, like you were saying about interdimensional communication, having a life on another world, physical world, your soul will take you there too.
Of course. Do not forget, friend, there are thousands and thousands of planets upon which life may revolve, may continue to grow. And the soul in all its purity will be your eternal vehicle to help you to express that life.
Lovely. Okay.
With love and light, as always, dear friend.
God bless. Thank you, Gregory.
Good day.
Good day. Okay. Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd just like to mention our website again. It's www.spirit-teaching.com. Where you can find out more information about us and our books, our Akashic readings and CDs. You can also purchase them from bookstores and from Amazon, as well as Spirit's Work on BBS Radio on Mondays and Thursdays. We also have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching on artistfirst.com on Tuesdays. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Sylvie Avery. spirits work. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.